So, yeah, so in a few weeks we'll be celebrating Easter. We'll be remembering that Jesus came. I know we do this every week when we come to the communion. Remember that Jesus died for us, that he rose again. But we set aside that time, that weekend, and that just to thank God that he came. And I thought as we run up to Easter that we will look at a new series of teaching on our Tuesday nights on Jesus as our great high priest. And in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 14, to the end of the chapter, which is only three verses, it says this: "So seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, Jesus, our great high priest. Now, in the book of Hebrews, there's a lot of teaching on the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Begins here in chapter 4, chapter 5, then chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, all deal with the high priestly ministry of Jesus. That's almost half the book of Hebrews. And because the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus are central to that teaching. You know, if we look at the priesthood of Jesus, we see it's like none other. It's not in the same league as the Levitical priesthood or what we read about in the Old Testament. You know, Aaron was high priest, and we'll touch a little bit on that tonight. But we're going to be looking at the priestly ministry of Jesus over these next few weeks. Now, one of the key themes of Hebrews, one of the key words in Hebrews is the word better. We see it right throughout the book of Hebrews. In actual fact, in 13 chapters of Hebrews, there's no less than 12 references. Depending on which translation you read, there may be more. They have this word, better. You know, we'll see a few of them tonight as we look into these scriptures. You know, it's more than any other book in the whole Bible. You know, Hebrews, it talks about a better covenant. It talks about a better priesthood. It talks about a better hope. You know, there's a lot of these betters that are dotted through the book. And we're going to see this in our study tonight as we look at the ministry of Jesus. We're going to begin tonight by looking at, there's four things we're going to look at over the next few weeks. One of those we find in chapter 7. It talks about the ministry of Jesus, or the high priestly ministry of Jesus, is of a better order. In chapter 8, it says that the ministry of Jesus is under a better covenant. In chapter 9, it talks about Jesus' ministry in a better sanctuary. And chapter 10, of course, deals with, and tells us what it's all about. It's about a better sacrifice that was made. And of course, that's what we will remember at Easter time, and we remember each week. That sacrifice that was made. Jesus gave his life, a ransom for the world. You know, he became our sacrifice, or the sacrifice for our sins. So we're going to start by looking tonight, we started off reading chapter 4, but we're going to look into chapter 5, the first few verses. And in chapter 5, we see, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honour to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So there, one of the key things of the priesthood is that they're called of God. And we see that Jesus was called of God, just like Aaron was called of God. You know, these few verses here just basically sum up the ministry of a high priest. It's not an exhaustive list, and there's a lot more things that the priest did. But it says here that the priest represented God. He was appointed for men in things pertaining to God. You know, the high priest was the one who represented man to God and God to man. He offered gifts and sacrifices for sins. You know, the animal sacrifices were brought to the high priest. The high priest would kill these sacrifices. He'd spill the blood. He'd offer up sacrifices for sin. It says he has compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. And he's looking out for those that he's over. And he can sympathize with them because he's subject to weakness. Well, that's what we read in the end of chapter 4. You know, Jesus, our high priest, you know, he sympathizes with our weaknesses because he was not weak, but he was tempted just like we are. But he overcame. He didn't yield to sin. So he knows what it's like to be tempted, which is what makes him sort of to fulfill that role of high priest. Now, one of the things this chapter declares about Jesus, and the writer to the Hebrews here is quoting the Psalms. He's quoting Psalm 110, and he says in verse 6, he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now we're looking tonight at the ministry of Jesus is that of a better order. And the order of Melchizedek is a better order of priesthood than that of Aaron's order. If we go over to chapter 7, we're going to spend a bit of time looking at Melchizedek, because the Bible here says that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that statement is quoted in the last verse of chapter 6, and then it goes on into chapter 7, verse 1. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So this Melchizedek, the Bible refers to him as King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. You know, King of Salem is translated, as the Bible tells us this, first as king of righteousness, and then king of peace. We see that in verse 2. King of righteousness, and then also king of peace. He was made like the Son of God. It says he was without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God. Remains a priest continually. Now Melchizedek, if he's a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, he met Abraham when he was coming back from the slaughter of the kings. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. And what we actually see here is that he's a type of Christ, but so was Aaron a type of Christ. Now there's two differences here. The key statement here is that he's priest forever. And we need to keep that in our hearts and minds as we go through. Yes, Aaron was a type of... Now Aaron was a type of Christ's earthly ministry. You know, Aaron represents the sacrifice and atonement. You know, Aaron deals with atonement and salvation, or forgiveness of sins, because that was his ministry in the earth. Aaron represented man to God. He offered up sacrifices for sin and for atonement, so that people's sins were dealt with and covered and atoned for. But Melchizedek, he's a priest forever. He's not of the same order as Aaron. Now, Aaron had an earthly ministry. Melchizedek's ministry was a heavenly ministry. He was an eternal priest. A priest forever. And Melchizedek deals with the power to live the eternal life in righteousness and holiness. And this makes sense as we go through. Aaron's ministry, as I said, was earthly. Melchizedek's was heavenly. And Jesus was declared in the Psalms. He was declared in the verse we read in chapter 5. Declared in chapter 6 that he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And as I said, the key words in this statement are the words forever. Melchizedek's priestly order is an eternal priesthood. Aaron's order was subject to death, and it goes on in chapter 7, whether we actually get through to reading the chapter or not tonight. It says in verse 23, it says, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. You know, the earthly priesthood died out. You know, they grew old, they died. So they weren't able to continue in their ministry. Now it was passed on to the next high priest. But Melchizedek and Jesus have an eternal priesthood. That means they never die, and they never die out. But it means a little bit more than just that it doesn't come to an end. There's much more involved. An eternal priesthood tells us that it's a priesthood that doesn't change. You know, there's no change. There's no decay. You know, God is eternal. And whenever you use that word eternal, it's referring to something to do with God. Eternal life, it's got something to do with God. God imparts his life into us, and we have eternal life. An eternal priesthood is God's involved in the priesthood. Eternal is something which is divine. There's no change, there's no decay, because God is in it. And Melchizedek's priestly order is an eternal priesthood. Aaron's order was subject to death, but Melchizedek's was eternal. And Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood because he continues forever as well. And it says that in this chapter. Now in chapter 7, we can break this down into three different groups. But before I do, I want to read verse 4, because it says this. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. There the writer of the Hebrews is getting us to focus our attention on to Melchizedek, on his greatness. Consider how great this man was. Because if we understand how great Melchizedek was, that gives us a greater understanding on the priesthood of Jesus. Because Jesus is in the same order. He has the same type of priesthood as Melchizedek. And if we rightly understand Melchizedek's greatness, it helps us understand Jesus' greatness as our high priest. Now, in the Jews, or the Hebrews, this was written to the Hebrews, they looked to Abraham as their father. I don't know if you recall, on one occasion Jesus was talking about something to his, and they said, look, he said, well, we have Abraham as our father. No, we go back to Abraham. Everything was about Abraham. He was the father of their faith. He was the father of their religion. Everything was built around Abraham. You know, he was, if you like, the kingpin in their history. You know, Abraham, this father of the faith. And they looked up to him, they honoured him, and revered Abraham. The Jews, the Hebrews, they recognised and exalted, if you like, their priests, Aaron. You know, because the priests were representatives of God. It was to the priest they went to offer their sacrifices to God. It was to the priest they went. Do you remember when Jesus told those that were healed of leprosy, and he said, go show yourself to the priest, that he may pronounce you clean. You know, the priest had a major role in the religion, if you like, of the day. Their worship, their religion. In actual fact, their worship was second to none. You know, the Jews really knew how to worship God. You've only got to go through the books of the Chronicles and you see when they set up the temple, you know, how those people worshipped. You know, they worshipped God in such a way that God just filled the place with his presence. You know, their worship was sweet, it was beautiful. You know, just an examination of the music in the temple, you'll see that, you know, we have in our church here, we have guitars, and occasionally we might have keyboards and things, and we've had drums. But in the temple, you know, this was a major orchestra that led the worship. They really knew, they really went to town on their worship. So they looked up to the priesthood, they looked up to we could call it their religious roots. God's representative, you know, this was a man to be respected. You know, when Jesus was arrested, you might remember that, it was Paul. When Paul was arrested, I think he did something and they challenged him, says, how dare you strike the high priest? And he says, well, I didn't know he was the high priest. You know, they really looked up to these men. And then finally, the Jews, and you'll know this, they were strict sticklers for the law. Everything about the law, this was God's covenant with them. You know, they observed it right down to the last letter. You know, in one occasion, Jesus told them that they dot the I's and cross the T's of the law. You know, jot and tittles. They were interested in the very tiniest grammatical part of the law. You know, and they stuck to it and they were strict to it. So much so that Jesus accused them on one occasion and he challenged them and said, look, he says, your desire for the law has caused you to neglect the weightier matters, the true things, things that really concern you. You've neglected them, so you can focus on the tiny little bits, you know, the bits that don't, I would say, not that they don't count, but the less important things of the law, you know, how they wash the cups, how they wash their hands. rather than giving honour and praise to God. You know, they've neglected all that. But what we find in this chapter, in chapter 7, is that it's talking about Melchizedek. It's talking about Melchizedek's order. And we see, we can break it down, we can see that in this chapter in verses 4 to 10, that Melchizedek is proved to be greater than Abraham, the one they look up to, you know, the founder of their faith. Verses 11 to 14, it deals with the Levitical priesthood. It shows that Melchizedek was greater than the priesthood. And then in verses 11 through to 19, it talks about the law. It shows that Melchizedek is greater than the law. So then as we begin to wrap it up tonight, let's just look at those three aspects. Abraham, we'll look at Aaron, and we'll look at the law. Now consider how great this man is, it says in verse 4. So we're thinking about how great Melchizedek is, because this is going to lead us into how great Jesus is. Because Jesus is of the same order. Now, Abraham says, we read these words in verse chapter 7. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace." And it says, "Now consider how great this man was," it's verse 4, "to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is from their brethren, though they've come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes to Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." You know, those verses there show us that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. You know, so where people, we have in the church now, people say, well, tithing's under the law. There we clearly see that Abraham was well before the law, and he gave his tithes to Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek received the tithes. Now, you only gave your tithe to the priest. That's where you brought your tithe. You brought it to the priest. Now, Abraham gives his tithe to a complete stranger that he meets on the road. He doesn't know who this Melchizedek is. He's never met him before. Melchizedek meets him when he's coming back from the battle. And Abraham gives him his tithe, gives him a tenth of all the spoils of battle. Melchizedek, it says in the scriptures, blessed Abraham. And we read that beautiful verse in verse 7. It says, "Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better." You know, we are the lesser. God is the better. He blesses us. But then we give our tithes to him. You know, that's a... This will run all the way through. The lesser is blessed by the better. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. You know, Jesus is our high priest in the same order as Melchizedek. And he comes to bring God's blessing to us. And as I've just said, he receives tithe from us. And whatever we give to God, doesn't matter whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's our service, whether it's... other talents, and whatever we give God, we can never outgive God. You know, God, as we release our tithes to God, God just blesses. As we release anything to God, God blesses, because the lesser is blessed by the better. And that's the same all the way through. And we'll see it in the, when we look at Aaron right now, and then when we look at the law. the lesser is blessed by the better. Now, in the case of Aaron, well, before we go on to Aaron, let's look at Abraham. It says, the Levi who received tithe, you know, remember Levi was the tribe where the priest came out of. The high priests were out of the tribe of Levi. And Levi received tithes, but here it says that because Levi was still in the loins of Abraham, and he hadn't yet been, Levi hadn't been born, the man Levi, but he was, Abraham was his, one of his great-granddads. I can't remember exactly, was it great-great-granddad? Abraham was his great-great-granddad. Levi was son of Jacob. Jacob was son of Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. So he's part, he's a close family. So he's says that he paid tithes, even though he receives tithes, because he did it through Abraham. Now the Aaron's order was a type of Christ's work on the earth. And if we start looking at verse 11, you know, Aaron's order was that of sacrifice, as I said earlier on. It was that of shed blood. It was that of atonement and reconciliation. It was about bringing reconciliation to God's people. And Aaron was high priest. He offered up the sacrifices. He made atonement for the sins of the people. You know, he stood in the place of sort of talking with God and communing with God. And what we see here, it says in verse 11, it says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it's far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Now, the priest came out of the tribe of Levi. Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. So there's a change in the priesthood. It's a different order. Now, Aaron's order was only a shadow of something better to come. Something else was necessary. That's what it's saying there. You know, there was the necessity of a change of priesthood and a necessity of the change of the law. See, in Aaron's day, he could only enter into the holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement. And then, remember, the holy place was where God dwelt between the, you know, the Spirit of God was between the cherubim. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. You know, and the holy place could only be entered once a year. And then it was only a brief moment in time. And it wasn't like a whole day that the priest spent in the holy place. He spent just a few moments, a few minutes, because he took the blood of the lamb into the holy place. And once he presented the blood at the altar, then he had to come out. You know, so a higher priestly order was necessary to open up the way and grant access to everyone. You know, remember we read in chapter 4, it says that we've got a high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And it says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. We couldn't have come to the throne of grace if the priesthood hadn't been changed, the order hadn't been changed. This was a work at the cross. You know, because when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The way into the holy place was opened up. You know, and that signified not just a new covenant, but a new priesthood as well. You know, Jesus, our great high priest. You know, Aaron's priesthood was had limited ministrations. There's only certain things he could do. But Melchizedek, I don't know if you caught on at the beginning of that reading, says Melchizedek was king of Salem. He was a priest and a king. Aaron was just priest. Melchizedek was priest and king. You know, he ruled and reigned. You know, Jesus' priesthood is that of a king and a priest. He's King of Kings. He's our great high priest. You know, they didn't have that under Aaron. So we see that the order of Melchizedek is a better order than that of Aaron's. Then finally, the law. Now, Galatians tells us something about the law. It tells us that the law was only there until the seed should come. The law was only introduced because people sinned. And it was to help them, to enable them to live a fairly decent sort of life. You know, God gave the law to keep man on track. Because if he didn't do that, man would have sort of blown everything up, you know. He would have messed up completely. Now, man has messed up and sins in the world, but God gave the law just to keep man on some sort of track. If he says, follow the law, he says, you'll live. Do this, you'll live. You know, that's good enough. But now when Jesus has come, the seed has come, and Galatians tells us that Christ is the seed. That's what it was talking about. Jesus was the seed. And what we find with the law is that the law under the Old Testament is completely opposite to life in the New Testament. Because law and life are opposites. You know, the law, Paul argues this in one of his letters, he says, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter of the law brings condemnation, but Jesus brings freedom. You know, there's life with Jesus. Aaron, his order was one of a fleshly commandment. He followed the commandments. You know, he mediated with the commandments. He was a mediator of the covenant. But the order of Melchizedek is, well, let's read what it says about the order of Melchizedek in verse 16. It says, well, verse 15 says, it is yet more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. You know, the order of Melchizedek is about eternal life, an endless life. It's about life. You know, this life, as it goes on, it says it brings a better hope. You know how many times these words better keeps coming up in this reading? You know, a better covenant, a better life, a better hope. You know, this brings us a better hope, verse 19 tells us, so that we can draw near to God, so that access can be granted to God. You know, the way to God is now open. Now, Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, because he received tithes. Melchizedek was greater than Aaron. Melchizedek was greater than the law. And Jesus is in the same order. Now, we haven't got time tonight to look at the rest of the chapter here, but it says Jesus came as high priest so that we could draw near to God. Now, Jesus came to open up access to every single person, so every person can have access to God the Father. Remember what Jesus said? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father unless he comes through me. We've got to come through Jesus. We've got to come through the high priest, our high priest. I'm not talking about a man, but this is our high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And access was only granted periodically for a brief moment every year. But Jesus is high priest in the power of an endless life in the order of Melchizedek. It tells us something about, the end of the chapter tells us something about Jesus. It says he's surety of a better covenant. That's verse 22. There's that word better again, better covenant. He's surety of a better covenant. Then it goes on in verse 24, he has an unchangeable priesthood. because he continues forever. Then in verse 25, and this is something we often use in a gospel message, you know, we use it to reach out to sinners, but this is talking about the church. It says that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. He makes intercession for the saints. Verse 26 tells us that he's higher than the heavens. And of course, what we're going to remember in a lot in the next few weeks is that he gave up his own life. He offered up himself as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Not just for a year, not just for a period of time, but I think it's chapter 10 talks about a once for all offering, a once for all sacrifice. You know, no more does Jesus have to die again. Every year, a lamb had to be slain and the blood presented at the holy place. But Jesus' blood has been accepted and it lasts forever. Amen. You know, and that's a little bit. You know, Jesus has a priestly order after that of Melchizedek. You know, Melchizedek was greater than all of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. You know, I like what it says. You know, we're not looking at it tonight, but we looked at it when we were looking at the race of faith in Hebrews 11. It says that God's provided something better for us. You know, it's something better for us. You know, if you think under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, under Aaron's priesthood, there was forgiveness of sin, there was healing of sickness, there was prosperity and sort of blessing. And that was all under the Old Covenant, but under the New Covenant, under Jesus, under their high priestly ministry, Jesus is high priest to bring us. It's got to be better than what they had, because we're under a better order. You know, Jesus is high priest, so forgiveness is better. Healing's got to be better. You know, blessing has got to be better. Because we're Jesus' surety of a better covenant. So we'll leave it at that, and then next week we'll, God willing, we'll go on and we'll look at, because it's all based, that's where we finished it. It's based on a better covenant. And as we look through chapter 8. Amen. Really?